Every step we move closer to sports coming back will raise a handful of questions on how prepared is that sport. Big step taken today by Major League Baseball. MLB has agreed with the owners on a plan to begin the season in early July, a schedule featuring 82 games without fans in the stands.
Baseball has been on pause for months now, but it might be on the verge of coming back, or at least committing to a plan to come back. On Monday, MLB's owners approved a proposal for a shortened season that would begin in July. ESPN's Jeff Passan joins the show to discuss that plan and whether the players will agree that playing ball is worth the risk. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Tuesday, May 12th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. Jeff, you've been on a lot of Korean broadcasts. Can you say hello in Korean yet?
안녕하세요, Mina.
It was good. It was good. You had the right energy, I felt. Jeff Passan is an MLB insider for ESPN. Yesterday, the MLB owners approved a proposal that Commissioner Rob Manfred plans to present to the players today for a return-to-play scenario that aims to have baseball back by early July. What is in the plan?
How about baseball starting on the 4th of July? Like, can we get any more American? And look, I think that's actually part of this whole thing. I think that baseball wants to capture this part of the American sporting landscape that has just been dreaming of sports coming back. And typically, baseball during its season is competing with the NBA playoffs and with the NHL playoffs, and then training camp starts, and the NFL and college football are in full swing by the time the playoffs come around. Baseball has a pretty open landscape here, which is what I think is partially driving this. As it stands right now, the biggest and most important things are spring training 2.0 starting in June. Season of 82 games starts up in July. And the biggest of all is the revenue split between the sides. Now, baseball is not a capped sport. It's the only American team professional sport that does not have a salary cap. And so the notion of a revenue split has never been part of the financial landscape. But what MLB is proposing in this first pass is a 50-50 revenue split that tries to mitigate the downside for owners who say they are bleeding because of what the coronavirus pandemic has wrought, and because when they return in this proposal, it would be in major league stadiums in their cities, there will be no fans there.
So it's pretty obvious why the owners want to do this financially, right? And for the players as well, financially. But there's also tremendous risk for the players, their families, pretty much everyone who's actually in and around the field. What have the players said so far?
The players have been fairly silent. You know, you haven't had anyone come out and say, no, this is not going to work. Behind the scenes, however, that's exactly what they said. They're saying that this 50-50 split plan is a complete non-starter. And they're saying this for a couple of reasons. One of them is fundamental. The players have so long fought against the idea of a cap. Remember, back in 1994, when there was a strike, Major League Baseball wanted to institute a salary cap. The players were willing to lose a season and a World Series to avoid that. But beyond that, what buttresses their argument right now, they believe, is the agreement in March that was signed between the players and MLB. And in the players' minds, that says explicitly that if a season begins, they will be paid a prorated salary based on the number of games. So 82 games, they're going to get about half of their salary. MLB's contention is that in this agreement, there's something of a poison pill, which is a phrase that says all of this is valid unless there are no fans in stadiums. Now, MLB is arguing that that little clause at the beginning of the contract applies to players' salaries, What the union is saying is that if you wanted that to be in the salary portion of the agreement, you should have put it in there explicitly. And because it's not in there explicitly, it's not valid.
What about from a public health perspective? How is this actually going to work?
I think that is as unanswered a question at this point as the finances are. And it's because there's really no clear, good roadmap to how to do this, right? We've seen in other countries, we've seen in Taiwan and in South Korea, baseball come back. But those are also places that haven't had anywhere near as virulent a spread of coronavirus as we have here. What they can try to do is make it as safe as possible. Teams are going to play games only inside of their division and against the interleague team in those divisions. So, for example, American League East teams will play only American League East and National League East opponents. The hope there is that by limiting travel, you know, you can take bus rides from New York to Philadelphia or from Philadelphia to Washington. But in the Central divisions, for example, that's just not realistic. Those teams are going to be taking flights practically every time they have to play a game. So between that and figuring out how much testing can be done, it's a huge part of this. And another reason, Mina, why the players are as emboldened as they are, because they feel like they're the ones taking all the risk here. The owners aren't going out from place to place, going out in public, staying in hotels, traveling, coming into contact with people who might be infected. They're going to be staying in the comfort of their homes if they want. If players play, they do not have that choice. They get to stay at home for half the time, and they're going to be on the road the other half.
You mentioned that this all depends on how much testing can be done. I mean, given how big this league is and how many people would be involved, wouldn't that require a tremendous number of tests, maybe beyond the scope of what's even available now?
It will. And look, we saw President Trump on Monday come out and trumpet the amount of testing that the United States is going to do. This is something that I think the country has been waiting for months now. And MLB and even the Players Association, honestly, have been pretty optimistic that getting the number of tests in place to do this is not going to be problematic by the time they get back. The question is, number one, how often are they going to be testing? And number two, what types of tests are they going to use? Are they going to be the rapid, you know, 7 to 10 minute responses that people in the White House are getting right now? Or is it going to be more like a 24-hour situation where you get tested, everyone on the team gets tested, and the swabs get shipped off to a different location? You get results back within 24 hours. Those are all issues that are high on the players' minds right now. And it's going to be interesting to see what they prioritize.
Jeff, let's say they do have enough tests and they're able to execute this plan. What happens if a player, coach, or staffer tests positive?
That's a great question. And I think it's one that has not been answered domestically yet. We see, though, the Bundesliga in Germany, the top soccer federation there, and people tested positive and they continued on. And I think the idea of Major League Baseball completely shutting down because of a positive test just is not realistic. If they get the engine going, they're going to keep it going unless something catastrophically bad happens. What they hope to do, I think, is mitigate the spread and hope that it doesn't go inside of a clubhouse and you have 15 players who end up testing positive and having to quarantine then, because you want a representative major league team out there. And the idea that a contending team, if it gets hit with a massive case of COVID, is going to put a bunch of minor leaguers out there, I just don't know how realistic that is. And that's a question, Mina, that a lot of players want answered, because they're going to be the ones, and the coaches and the training staffs and the managers and the people who are going to be there every day, they're going to be the ones who ultimately are at risk here.
When this all began, the NBA and NHL had already begun. Yet it's MLB, which had not begun its season yet in March, that's the first of the major leagues to roll out a plan. Why do you think that is?
I think that MLB sees a totally different calculus than those other sports. For example, the NBA and the NHL both had a significant amount of revenue come in from all of the games that they had played. MLB estimates that the gate revenue and all of the ancillary revenues from ticket sales comes to about 40% of every team's revenue, you know, give or take a few percentage points. And that's a big haircut that they're going to have to take. On the player side, NBA and NHL players have been getting paychecks for the entirety of the season up to this point. So they've gotten their money. And with the NFL, you know, they've still got a couple of months until the season really begins ramping up. And so when you've got MLB staring at potentially a season that's lost, the incentive is there for that league as much as any to go and try and get a plan together. It's just a matter of timing, honestly. And I think that timing has incentivized MLB to go forward and try to put a plan together as quickly as it can.
All right, after the break, I am going to hand the mic over to you, Jeff, for an interview you did with Minnesota Twins star Nelson Cruz, who's been at home in his native Dominican Republic waiting out the pandemic. We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Cruz swings and skies one to right center field. That is deep, sending Pilar back on the track at the wall. That's gone. The first bomba of 2020 for Nelson Cruz.
That was six-time All-Star Nelson Cruz unleashing his boomstick for the Minnesota Twins in spring training this February. Little did we know, less than 3 weeks later, on March 12th, Major League Baseball would have to suspend spring training and ultimately the start of the 2020 season due to the coronavirus. Recently, I caught up with Cruz at his home as he awaits baseball's return. Hi, Nelson. Where are you right now?
I'm in Dominican Republic, 30, 40 minutes from the border, from Haiti.
So you expected to be playing baseball at this point, but the coronavirus had other ideas. What are your days like?
Well, right, I watched a few series on Netflix. When I wake up, I go to the gym, work out, do my routines, and then eat. And I'd be playing some baseball games on PlayStation. Just try to keep yourself busy, you know, once you can.
Do you use your own creative player in MLB The Show?
No. I play with the Twins. On basketball, I create my own player, yes. I come through the minors, so I have to develop myself in basketball.
So you got your daily routine down and your PlayStation 4 is running to keep you occupied, but be honest, are you bored right now without baseball?
Oh, yeah, definitely we're missing baseball. But at the same time, it is what it is. I think people out there are more in different and worse situation than what I am, you know. Food-wise, you know, probably you don't see that much common in the States, but in Dominican, we'll be dealing with a lot of people that, I mean, they don't eat regular basis. They don't have three meals a day. And I have to help those ones. And how are I going to complain about me don't playing baseball with those guys and those people, those families that don't have food, you know?
You're a member of Step Up to the Plate, a coalition of more than 40 current and retired major league players working together to raise money in order to provide essential supplies, personal protective equipment, food in the Dominican Republic. What has that experience been like?
We provide meals for 400 families. They will take care of them for like more than a week. And that's been one of the main stuff that most of the players in the Dominican will be doing, or hometowns. And we have a group of over 60 players that we collect some money. We're going to find where the most need in the country, and then we're going to go there and provide with whatever they need in the hospitals and in those towns.
Who are some of the other major leaguers that are involved in providing help in the Dominican Republic?
Pedro Martinez, Adrian Beltre, David Ortiz, Robbie Cano, Edwin Encarnacion, even the young guys from Blavi, Fernando Tatis Jr., Juan Soto, whatever player you think in the DR, we all involved doing it. It was over 60 people.
So baseball is shut down right now as a result of COVID-19, but there are signs that it's going to be able to return at some point. Do you believe we're going to see baseball this year?
I want to believe. I think it will be good for not only us as a player, it'd be good for the fans. It'd be good for the world, you know, to put their mind in something else. The world needs that, you know, the fans need it. So it would be good mentally for everybody.
What do you think of playing in empty stadiums?
It's not like what I want either, but at least fans can watch us play on TV, and that will be something else for fans and people to do, you know? Instead of watch replay games, what they're doing right now, I will be live, you know? And like I say, they will put their mind in something else besides what's going on right now.
MLB owners are saying privately right now that if games are played without fans, some teams will lose money paying players their full prorated salaries. They want players to potentially give up a portion of their salary in addition to what's been lost through games not being played. Would you be willing to give up a portion of your salary if it ensured that baseball would be played this season?
Well, we have to see how much the portion will be. Every case will be different. Probably if you mention Marlins, Tampa, those teams probably they play most of the baseball games with empty stadium. And I don't see the owners complaining about losing money. Probably Dodgers, Yankees, Houston's the ones that pay a lot of money. They pay was is higher. But every case is different, you know? So we had to really embrace it and see the situation for every one of us.
The Major League Baseball Players Association has come out publicly vehemently against the idea of giving up any portion of salary beyond what they have already. Do you think other players would be willing to give up money if it meant baseball coming back?
Probably the big name players, the ones that make a lot of money, the ones that be around for a while, they probably will be able to do it. But you're talking about young players, the ones that are just start making the career, you know. Every dollar is important. You have to look at different ways of this. So it's a big and controversial question because you're talking about so many players in so many cases. When the moment comes and the situation will be the right one to do it, we can make the decisions.
Are you personally worried about the virus?
I don't worry about myself much. I worry about my relatives, you know. What about if I got it and I don't know that I have it and I see my mom, I see my dad, and then they get sick? Or we have coaches too. They are 60s, you know, and 70s. And what about if they get sick, you know? So I think we have to think more on the others than ourselves, even then we have to think about us too, you know? What about if you get sick, and then you maybe lose the whole season if you try to play, you know?
Have you thought about what baseball, all the things that you're used to, life in the clubhouse and out on the field, how it might be different in the coming weeks and months if you guys do come back? Like, can you imagine 6 foot social distancing inside of a clubhouse?
Well, what about the press? You know, we have to talk to the press every day. How is that going to work?
I'm pretty sure the answer there is that you guys are going to kick us out.
If you're going to ask me a question, make sure you're far away, you know. So, I mean, it's different. It's going to be weird. But at the same time, we all want baseball, you know. So we were willing to do what it takes to be able to play and to bring that joy to fans, to us. Because we also fans, we love the game.
How much time do you think you will need to get ready for a Major League Baseball season?
I'd be good in a week and a half, 2 weeks. Every case is different. Like this year with extreme training, I was ready to day one. I was ready to go. I was like, I'm ready. But every case is different because pitchers are the ones, especially the starting pitchers, are the ones they need more time to get ready because they got to get stretch their arm and to do their 100 pitches.
As nice as it would be to have 4 or 5 weeks to stretch their arms out, that's probably not realistic. So do you envision a lot of bullpen games this year?
Yeah, I think just try to protect the pitchers, you know. I know they're going to be a lot of interesting walks because the minimum of 3 batters. So definitely will be early, probably if we play early in the year, it would be like that, you know, because the spin training will be shorter. The other thing that we have to mention also, because when the season is over, normally people take a month and a half, maybe 2 months off. This is not the case. We almost finished spin training a week and a half before we go to the season, so everybody was almost ready. And I believe most of the players keep training, you know, no one have stopped training. So I don't think it will take that much time like normally to players to get ready.
Nelson Cruz, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem, brother. You got it, man.
Coming up, I hand the mic back to Mina, who takes a look at the dramatic cost of the sports slowdown.
Hi guys, given everything that is happening in the world right now, most of us are buying things online. I saw that AT&T started doing 2 really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, non-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Here's another story I want you to know. Back in March, right after Rudy Gobert tested positive for coronavirus, we discussed the economic impact of live sports being canceled and talked about how it's affecting the financial well-being of arena workers. At the time, it was impossible to know how long the shutdown would last and what it would cost. But now we're beginning to quantify that impact. ESPN recently asked sports business professor Patrick Risch, who was on that show back in March, to try to calculate the losses, and they are severe. Risch estimates that if MLB and MLS were to play half of their games, and the NHL and NBA canceled their regular seasons and just held the playoffs, some $12 billion in revenue would be wiped out, as well as hundreds of thousands of jobs. According to Risch, that number could double if the NFL and college football seasons are canceled. Now, while that figure sounds dire, it might actually be conservative, given that the findings, which leaned on interviews across all levels of sports, as well as data collected by a labor markets analytics firm, didn't take into account NASCAR, golf, tennis, minor sports, gambling, and recreational activities like skiing, hunting, and fishing. And it is surprising. The writers, Steve Finerud, Mark Fainaruwata, David Perdue, and John Barr, noted that in the past, sports were thought to be recession-proof because they were replaced by other activities when they didn't happen. But now, with COVID-19, that precedent no longer applies, much like so many things. I'm Ina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.